Okay, and we are live. Welcome to the 33rd episode of our series, How to Become Fluent in English. Today, we're joined with a very special guest, and we're basically going to talk about the best strategies to improve your skills as an ESL learner. Okay, so Priscilla, why don't you introduce yourself to the audience?
Hey there, I am Priscilla, but better known as Teacher Pricks. And as I always like to say, I'm Teacher Pricks, and I'm going to help you talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime in English. That's what I believe in, you know. I think English is a beautiful language that brings people together. And when you speak such language, you are able to have better relationships, have better opportunities, or simply enjoy life, you know, having access to millions of amazing channels, news, music, movies. So I absolutely love the English language. And my goal is to make students feel the same, you know, feel the same connection and feel that English is possible. Communication is possible if you have the right strategies.
Perfect. And that's what the people are here for.
So, exactly.
Very nice to hear. I'm sure they're really excited to see you. And do you know any other languages fluently as well, other than English?
Well, my native language is Portuguese. Right. I currently study Italian. I've been studying Italian by myself for about 2 years, 2-3 years. It's really fun. I'm really passionate about learning and languages. Really, it's something that I love doing. I wish I had more time to study other languages, but right now, English and Italian.
Okay, cool. Useful languages to know.
Yeah, it's true.
And I see some of you guys here popping in now, mostly from Facebook and a few from YouTube. So as you come in, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us which country you're from, what your native language is. And if you have any questions throughout this conversation here with Teacher Pricks, feel free to jump right in and we will address them. So Joyce, hello, Joyce. Welcome to the stream. Cameron, hello. RFM, most welcome both of you. Shout out to you. Welcome back. Amna, hi. Musab, welcome. Most welcome both. Okay. Shout out to you, Musab, the OG. Welcome back. Welcome back to all the people who usually come. And welcome to the new people, the new faces. I know we're doing a different time today, so some of you guys will be new here. But it's great to have you as we have a special episode today in store for you. And if you'd like to support the platform, if you're on YouTube or Facebook, you can like the video, help the algorithms. And yeah. So Teacher Pricks, out of your experience, throughout your experience, because most of the people watching here, they're at the intermediate level of English. Yes. They can understand most of what we're saying right now in English. Yes. Throughout your experience of helping intermediate learners, what are some of the most common errors that you see at the intermediate level? Some of the most common mistakes that prevent people from making progress in their English skills?
You know, I like when I'm talking on my channel, when I'm making content, one thing that I always like to highlight is that your mistakes start at the beginning of the journey. And the routine you had, the habits you built since the very early stages of your journey, they still bring impact, whether negative or positive, to your journey to fluency. So oftentimes I invite students to look back and think of the routine they had when they started. And in many cases, and this is what I believe, of course, I don't have the absolute truth or anything, but one thing that I identify in students is that they rely a lot on translation. And then by the time they get to a better level, a pre-intermediate or intermediate level, they can't process information as quickly as they would like to. So there's this delay, they freeze because all their work, their mental work is in their native language. Now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say, oh, you should never translate or there's nothing that can be done in your language. But depending on how you studied, if everything relied heavily on translation, how do you expect to react quickly when someone asks a question? So this is something that I identified at this level. That's why nowadays I focus on this profile, because I know that it's a struggle. It is a big challenge. So translation is something that I identify that is a real challenge, a real issue. Another thing is you learned the basic conjugations, students learned the basic grammar to, you know, have basic conversations. But there are two things here that I also have, that I have also identified, which are conjugations. Students still confuse present, past, and future. Depending on the region, though, I have students from all over the country in my academy. So I have students, a lot of students from Brazil, like me, I'm Brazilian, lots of students from Europe, from Asia, from Africa. Mistakes are a little bit different because there are some cultural mistakes, I like to say, but they all go back to the conjugations and the ability to form sentences. And one thing that it's also connected to the way you study, if you never intentionally sat down to create your own sentences, to create your own English story, when it's time to get to a higher level, to something more advanced, that gets very difficult because you come from a background where the sentences were given to you. Maybe you had to just complete with one word that was missing or find the mistake in the phrase. This is really traditional, you know, a traditional way to teach and encourage students to study. But then you get to intermediate, someone asks a more difficult question, which leads me to the third mistake, which is the level of complexity. Maybe students were studying something that was too easy, and I'm not even talking about grammar or vocabulary per se, but the subjects. What do I love the most about speaking English or Italian? The ability to go on Google and search for things in English, but not just to learn English, but to become a better person, to learn about technology, to learn about history, biology, chemistry, latest gossip sometimes, you know, but to connect English like at a deeper level. And this is what I feel that students at this level, they're still searching for easier subjects, perhaps due to lack of guidance and clarity. So these are things that I have identified at this level.
Well, okay, yeah, and there's a lot to unpack there, but something really, really.
It's okay. I feel like I talk too much. You know, you're like, oh, give me you.
Hey, that's why you're here, though. You're here to talk. So, hey, but yeah, something really important that you said there is people, especially at the intermediate level, they still tend to translate words back into their native language. That's a huge mistake I made too when I had to learn the French language. So it's really important to develop a strong foundation at the beginning, because if you get into the bad habit of translating words back into your native language, just like you said, you're going to have a really difficult time communicating spontaneously. Exactly. With native English speakers. And then also, as opposed to translating it back into your head, I would say a good solution could be to associate imagery with what you say. So subtitles with social media or YouTube or even a TV show, it could all help because you'll actually see the word and how it's applied in a certain situation. And you can associate that imagery. Exactly. You can associate that imagery to the actual word, as opposed to having to translate it back into your head. And honestly, that's, I guess, how infants would learn how to speak English as well, because they grow up without any like awareness of any other languages. They just see and associate an action with words, essentially. So,
yes, that is true. Looking back to when I started my journey to fluency, I had this teacher, and I like to call teachers because I am in Brazil, you know, Latin America. Well, we have this culture of calling language coaches teachers. It is sometimes some people get really like, no, you shouldn't say teacher. And it's more like a sweet way to call someone who teaches English, even though I know that not everybody likes that. But I had this teacher once. And I was at the early stages of learning English. And I fell into this trap of translating things. I was always in love with music. I loved music. And every time I was studying, I tried to translate songs. And one day, because I did go to a school, even though I studied most of the time alone. You know, I think if I was lucky, I had 5 minutes to talk to the teacher at the school, and he would speak in Portuguese. never really in English. So I had access to explanations of like the lesson, what to do, where to find the CDs to study at the school. And that's basically that. And I had no internet. Hey, I'm a little old. So I had no internet access when I started studying. Yeah, it was sad. But I eventually had access to internet. And then he gave me this piece of advice that I've carried to life, which is, well, you know what? Do you want to translate the song, or do you want to understand the story behind it? Because languages are different. There's culture, you know, there are local expressions. There's so much beauty in understanding the song in the original language. And that's when I realized, like, oh, at the time, well, he didn't use the exact words I'm using right now. I'm embellishing what he said. But that really, you know, hit a nerve. And I was like, well, okay. And after that, I stopped translating the songs. And I started, like, really forcing my brain to, okay, connect the dots. And when I didn't know a word, I had a physical dictionary, you know, English to English. I bought a dictionary, English to English.
Old school.
Wow. Old school, my friend. I can find things pretty quickly. And I would look the words up and I would write short explanations. I would read short books in English and I would write explanations in English and no more in my language. And I would spend a few hours doing that. And that's what made me stronger. And I was able to think much more quickly. That's why in 6 months I was speaking. I was not stuck, because I really went from nothing, like from zero background, to speaking in 6 months, to the point where the school was so shocked because they didn't get the result. And they were not really helping me, because I'm not taking the credit from the teacher, but I didn't sit down with the teacher for an hour and we spoke in English like, oh, how's it going? No, I didn't have that. I had to sit down, you know, and study by myself, take notes, practice. I practiced my speaking like crazy by myself in the afternoons, you know, every day in my house. So this is something that made me stronger. And that's what I try to pass on to students, that it's a long-term project. And if you don't pay attention to how you started, you will have some big challenges on the road.
Yep, you'll struggle in that case. And yeah, that's super important. And for the people listening, yes, you absolutely need to take it upon yourself if you want to become fluent in the English language. Okay. Sitting in a classroom, doing classes, watching the videos on social media, that's good. It can be supplementary to your learning, but you really are going to have to put in the repetitions on your own if you really want to make this thing work, if you really want to see the results that I know most of you guys want to see here. And the chats are piling up. I'm going to address some of them here.
Sure. Go for it.
Abba Chan, welcome back, Abba. Hello. Arafat, today, don't you provide the chance to join in this live program? Yes, Arafat, I'm going to send the link in the chat. So you guys, we may do a little Q&A at the end of this live stream. So towards the end, I'll send the link in the chat. And if any of you guys want to call in with a few questions, we'll open up to you guys. So we'll do that. But for the time being, if you have any immediate questions, you can just put them in the chat and we will address them. Moonsoon, so happy to see you. Okay. Shout out to you. Welcome back. Abdu, hello from Eritrea. That's East Africa. Okay. Shout out to you. Musab, actually, I don't care about watching films to improve my language. Is it having a bad effect? Well, Musab, like I've even spoken about earlier, and Priscilla, you may disagree with me on this. I actually think that it's much more beneficial to watch YouTube videos, interviews, and podcasts, and things that simulate more realistic situations in English, as opposed to dramatic films and TV shows. Like if you watch a superhero movie, you may never come across a situation in real life where you would apply some of the terminology that you learn in that fictional setting, I guess. So I'd say if you want to get better at your business English skills, for example, it would probably be more beneficial to watch or consume content that has to do with the subject that is really relevant to your particular lifestyle. But yeah. Would you agree that TV shows and movies are...
I, I agree, actually. If you ask me how many movies I watch, I don't watch as many. I have to think about my reality nowadays. In the past, when I started, sometimes I had access to movies, so I watched them because I didn't have access to YouTube when I was starting, like 20 years ago, some years ago, some decades ago.
Right.
But today you have so many options. You just have to watch out for the danger of having too many options. Okay, but what I like to say is focus on people speaking in English, not necessarily teaching English. So if you prefer podcasts, go for it. Personally, I don't like anything that is too long because I like having a routine when I'm working on my listening comprehension, when I'm studying English. And if an audio file is 1 hour, it's not that it's impossible to work on it, but I'm thinking as a student, as perhaps a mother who has to take care of her children, or a father who has to go to work, or a student who has school assignments, college work, someone who has a life, you have other things to do. So sitting down to just work on your listening, you need to do certain activities to improve your comprehension. So I'm always careful about the length, the duration of the file you listen to or you watch. But I don't think not watching movies will be detrimental to your fluency. I think you can pick other things. You can watch interviews, as Avery said. You can watch short videos. You can watch short scenes. But in terms of movies, now the thing that you said that it's not as realistic, then I have to slightly disagree. I feel that it depends on the movie, depends on the kind of things you're interested in, because at the end of the day, you have to watch something that moves you, that really inspires you to okay, I want to know this. I want to know how this works. So it has to be something that catches your attention and will make you sit down and study. So it may be a documentary. It may be a movie based on a real story. It may be a superhero movie. Yeah, it could be, but we do have some unrealistic elements in movies, as you highlighted, as you mentioned. It really happens. But I think it can be productive, depending on how you study, depending on how you combine the skills. I love bringing the speaking element. When I am studying, if I watch something in English, my next exercise will be, okay, I'm going to talk about it now, because I want to practice my speaking, even as a teacher, because I know that if I don't practice, I will forget things, and it's important to stay on top of my game. So I think that it can be interesting to watch interviews, things you're interested in. It doesn't matter if it's a short, if it's a TED Talk, or if it's a Steven Spielberg movie, as long as you have an emotional connection. Okay, I really enjoy this movie. There was this movie I watched. Oh my God, I don't remember the name of the movie, because I don't watch as many movies. But that movie was so interesting, and it was not a very unrealistic movie, like superheroes or dinosaurs, but it was really interesting, and I learned so much with that movie that I watched again to study. Then I wrote a movie review in English. Then I practiced my English speaking talking about the movie, because it really was something that inspired me. In a nutshell, the movie talks about this guy that he daydreamed a lot about the perfect life, but his life sucked. His
Right.
life only turned around when he stopped dreaming and he started taking action. Then things started happening, and I was like, wow, this is so amazing, because I really like to watch things and read about things that will always teach me something, not necessarily in English, but teach me something. And
Right.
that movie spoke to me, because so many times I caught myself daydreaming and not taking action, and then complaining that my life is not all exciting and fun, and new, when this movie showed in a very entertaining way that if you want to make a change in your life, you gotta take action and stop dreaming, stop thinking about the perfect life, which is sometimes what English students tend to do. And I include myself, you know, not just in the English aspect, that we just think and daydream what things would be like if we were better, but we don't take the consistent action that sometimes may cause a little discomfort, a little pain, but that's what is going to make us feel proud of ourselves and actually achieve results.
No, that's well said. And yeah, that's to tie in with what you just said there. Yeah, if you're listening to something that actually is more impactful, something that you're genuinely interested in or genuinely seeking out to watch as well, that can definitely have benefits. And there are pros and cons to watching, I guess, some fiction versus some nonfiction. So,
yeah, there are. I prefer to spend my time on nonfiction, something that will actually teach me something. Mm-hmm. But you can have a little fun and watching something not as special or meaningful every now and then.
Yeah, of course. Now says, hi, Mamna, I'm from Palestine. Palestine. My mother tongue is Arabic. I could speak English too. Okay, cool. That's great. I'm doing the same. That's helped a lot. Okay, great. Shan, immersing self into English. Okay. Musab, what is her advice for us to improve our listening, especially for the intermediate level? Well, we kind of just went over that, Musab. I think the message or this question's a little delayed, but we basically just touched on that. Juju, hi everyone. Okay, Dr. Yusuf, hi, I'm from Syria. You're great, thank you. How long does it take to be a good English speaker? 6 months or more? Well, I'm gonna flip this over to you, Priscilla. But my short answer to your question, Musab, is it depends how much time you put into it. But what would you say? Is 6 months realistic for most people, or would it take
more? I think people, I know it's not the intention, but it's a tricky question. You know, it's you're cornering someone like, yeah, you got to give me an answer. 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, how long? And it does depend. But we're speaking in English right now, so it would be nearly impossible for a complete beginner to understand. So we got to establish that we don't have beginners here. Perhaps we may have what I like to call the false beginner, someone who may have spent years studying, but they only understand teachers, you know, in a safe environment. They are able to catch and, you know, make out information. But when they are thrown in the real world, it's like, oh my goodness, I can't do it. But we're not mostly talking to those people. We're talking to students who are at a pre-intermediate or intermediate level. Therefore, I think that depending on what you do, how often you do it, and the kind of guidance you have. And when I say guidance, I'm not necessarily saying that you need a private teacher one-on-one 3 to 4 times a week or even once a week. I'm not saying that. I'm not implying that. I feel that you can make great, you can get great improvement in 6 months if you're really committed to doing it. I really believe that because I have helped a lot of people do the same. The catch is that we gotta be realistic with what is good and what is bad, what is amazing, what is fluent. Even English fluency is sometimes, in my view, a little abstract, because what I believe may be fluent may not be what you believe to what fluency is. So, okay, we get the dictionary definition. Okay, fluency is when, well, the definition is you write and understand well and you speak well. Yeah, what is well? You know, if I need to close a sale in business and I don't speak the best English, but I always close the deals, I'm good. I can do it. But am I the best? Would I pass a Cambridge examination? So,
That's a good point. Cause I mean, even in French, my French is broken and I could still get by. So, and I'd honestly argue for the English language for those of you listening, like, I think at the B2 level, you can navigate your way through life in English quite easily. And even if you make grammatical mistakes, so what? Native English speakers, like myself, we make grammatical mistakes like every single day too. So, I mean, it definitely depends on what your goal actually is. And like you just said, what it means to speak well or what it means to be a good speaker, because if you just want to learn it, just so you can navigate your way through the world, you can travel, you can interact, you'll have more options in terms of who you could communicate with and what you can do with your life, then honestly, you can probably do most of it, if not all of it, at the B2 level. You can disagree. I'm not sure if you agree or disagree with this, Priscilla, but I would only encourage people to pursue the C1 or C2 level of English if they wanted to pursue higher education, or if they wanted to actually teach the language to other people, perhaps, yes, or if they had a special situation that requires them to have advanced English, or if they have a strong purpose for pursuing it.
If you really have a stronger purpose, otherwise you're going to be miserable. Because I was talking to a student, and then I showed her my homework, and it was like 20 pages of a lot of vocabulary, grammar exercises. And yeah, I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. But it's my level. And I enjoy, not every day, but, you know, I enjoy sitting down and doing exercises that will really get me stressed and you know, thinking hard about how to answer correctly. But yeah, exactly. B1, B2 are the levels of communicators. And if you want more than that, it's probably because you have a very specific goal. But let's put it to something more practical. Let's say you want to be better because you have a job, and there's something about your English at work that you're not happy about. Then we go to another point in what I often talk to my students about, which is emotion. And I don't want to get all emotional here, or try to play the shrink, you know, the doctor, like, oh my God, but here's what we're going to talk about. But a lot of it, when I have helped a lot of people, a lot of students from different places, and the emotion plays its role. So if you don't feel good, you could have access to the best English teacher, you could go to the best university, you're not going to be better because you don't feel better. So this is something that I like working with my students. Maybe you don't know me, there are many people here who don't know me, but I am a master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, and I study a lot about the impact of our language in our behavior, in our personality. And when I say language, I mean what we say to others about ourselves, what we say to ourselves about ourselves, our beliefs, the things we believe in. And they impact our lives, not just in English, but in everything. So a few years ago, I had these two students. They were really, really nice. They were professors at a university. And both of them wanted to travel abroad to make a presentation, you know, in a conference and talk about their job. They were dentists. One of them was not as advanced, but she was confident. The second one was way more advanced in the English language, but she was not as confident. Guess who made the presentation and who didn't? The less confident one. She practiced, she worked, she stayed with me for about six months or a little longer, but less than a year. And I gave her strategies. She had a lot of work to do at home, you know, recording herself, preparing for presentations, for questions, and she went and did it. The second one, she had way more preparation, but she always stayed in the preparation because she never felt it was good enough. And usually when you feel that way, it's not just the language anymore, it's the emotion. It's something that is blocking your mind. And no matter how hard you study, no matter how many lessons you do, you can't go past this feeling. So I feel that fluency at this level, at a pre-intermediate or intermediate level, is mental work. It's not just the language anymore. It's a combination of the habits, the English habits you establish, and how you see yourself speaking in English. I love watching my videos, not because I'm a cool teacher, but because I like to see, you know, I learn from my mistakes. I get to pay attention. Oh, what did I say wrong? Okay, I'm going to fix that. Oh, I moved too much. And then, okay, this was not okay. And I appreciate that I'm speaking another language. But I will often, if you ask me, oh, what do you think of your English? Well, I think it's awesome. And I'm always learning. And I still need to learn more and improve more. But I have this positive mindset that I'm in the right direction. So I think that can, if you want to improve in 6 months or in a year, you will also need to work on your mind.
Well, most definitely. Yeah. And yeah, you're going to have to be emotionally invested to a degree. You're not wrong.
Yes.
You're not wrong. And that's why I always, even when people come to me and they send me a message on Instagram or somewhere and they ask, how can I become fluent in English? I want to become fluent in English. It's like, well, the very first question I ask them is, what is your purpose for learning the English language? Because if your purpose isn't even strong enough to learn the English language in the first place, then you're never going to see it through. Like for every 10 people who become fluent in English on their own, there are probably like 90 people who fail because they quit before they even get started. They quit before they can even give themselves a chance or the opportunity to see results. So, I mean, yeah, you definitely have to have an emotional drive to.
In addition, here is the comparison. And you said the number of people who achieve and the number who fail. These people who are failing are also comparing themselves in a very negative way and unrealistically, because I don't know your story. I don't know my neighbor's story and what my neighbor had to do to achieve the level they did. But in the corner of my mind, or in many students' minds, they're comparing themselves. Oh, but she got it, I didn't. Oh, but she got this in 2 months, I didn't. I know people who were fluent in 3 months. I was in six, but I know people who are in three. Now, is it fair for me to compare myself with them? No, because
it's natural.
I'm stuck with me, you know?
Yeah.
And the more you compare yourself with others, the slower your journey gets, you know, and more difficult. It gets just harder.
Yeah. And I get it, though, for the people who do. It's kind of like human nature. It's natural, yeah. But it is important to be self-aware of that and then try to, of course, stay focused on your path instead of looking everywhere else, too. So. For sure. And it's hard today too, especially with social media, because it's always in your face. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It can be difficult. Juju says, thanks a lot. Okay. No problem. We got you. Manley, amazing. Okay. Juju, I want the best way to have strong communication and fluency in English. Yeah. We just touched on that. Dr. Yusuf, Woodpecker app is a good choice. I've never heard of that.
But, yeah, me neither.
Yeah,
okay. I don't use many apps, so my most common answer is I don't know it.
Yeah, I mean, there you go, Duncan Nation. Il, hello. Hello, Il. Bonjour. Hope you're doing well. Okay, Musab here. My level is intermediate. What should I do every day to be a good speaker or to improve my language very soon? So we just talked about the mindset. Priscilla, I'm not sure what your exact tangible methods would be. For me, I would really say it does come down to repetition. Yeah. I think that a lot of English learners underestimate how much work it actually takes to become a comfortable and natural speaker. So a lot of them like to listen to a lot of media. They consume a lot. They can get to a point where they can understand English, but they can't quite speak it. It's because the simple answer is you are not getting enough repetition training your mouth to speak the English language.
Yes.
It really, you actually have to train your mouth to actually move a certain way to speak the English language. And a lot of people underestimate the amount of repetitions it actually takes.
Yeah.
But believe me, once you say something 100 times, once you express something 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, it will become natural with that many repetitions.
It does help. Yeah. I think it's I don't think there's a limit to repetition. I have been repeating the same strategies for a very long time. Technology has enhanced some of my strategies, but in the past, okay, I didn't have a phone, well, many when I started, but I had a recorder. I bought a recorder, you know, a tiny, you know, gadget just to record voices, you know, they exist. They still do.
Yeah.
How old are you, by the way?
Yeah, I'm 27.
Oh my God. You're good for you. I'm not that old, but I am a little older than you. Okay. What was I going to say? Okay.
Your dictaphone. Yeah.
Yeah, my dictaphone. Yes, that's what it was, you know. But I really liked it. I had a what is that? A disc man, you know, like I had like the CD player that we call disc man, you know. I had that, you know, and I used it a lot to study. But yes, this is a problem with students because they keep waiting for the perfect scenario when I have someone to practice with me anywhere, anytime, and that's when I'm going to be, you know, amazing and fluent. But if I don't have that, I need to go and search for the second best thing. So my recommendation, and this is something that I sit down and I do every day, because here I'm talking to you, we're talking about strategies to teach English, to learn English on my channel, and I imagine in your channel as well, we're teaching English grammar, vocabulary, expressions. But how about my moment to study? I have to go and sit down and study things that will challenge me, not just in terms of grammar, but in terms of life, you know, connecting with my life. So every time I sit down and study by myself, I have to practice my English speaking, not in my mind, but here, because of the muscle training. I need to train my mouth to make the movements that are not so easy for me as a non-native speaker. I sometimes make pronunciation mistakes, and I know that I have made mistakes here. So I know that I have that in my practice. I need to be consistent with my pronunciation work, with my vocabulary work, with my ability to explain things, ask difficult questions. And I have to do that by writing. Yes, absolutely. But I also have to do that by speaking. So having a moment to work on your English speaking consistently, I could say every day. Yes, for me the ideal scenario is every day, like 5 days a week. Have some days to get some rest and have a little fun, but be consistent. If it's three times a week, you will perhaps work on a little grammar, a little writing and speaking. Oh, today I'm going to work on pronunciation and vocabulary and a little speaking. And that's what is so important. You have to do this every day. You need to include a little bit of speaking, and that's the second best thing you can do. I think the internet has given a lot of power to people in terms of connection. You can make new friends, you can, you know, reach people, you know, in different countries. We may not use it as wisely, but I also recommend you make friends, you know, try to make friends in English. I think that's a good thing, but it's your responsibility. It's not someone else's responsibility to make you speak, to make you improve. You know, you have to do your share. And your share is having an organized study plan and including specific exercises that will make you move your mouth. Oh, and I remembered something. I was giving a group conversation class to my students from my academy, and there was a student, and I asked her a question, and she started answering. But as she started speaking, she was like this, you know. And I was like, sweetie, hands off. And she was like, why? Well, it's already hard enough for us to speak English. We have to make some movements we're not familiar with. And you're stopping your mouth, your jaw from moving. One thing that I say is native speakers, they don't move their mouths as much as we do because you have been practicing since you were two. We have been practicing, we started practicing later on. And when by the time we started practicing the English language, we had already taught our muscle memory to make different movements. So we need to exaggerate a little and make more movements, exaggerate the movements a little, so it gets easier for us to memorize, so that eventually we don't need to exaggerate the movements anymore. So this constant movement, okay? Sometimes if I'm not in a good week, if I'm too busy or too stressed or sleep deprived, I make more mistakes than usual because I'm not getting enough sleep, I'm not, you know, eating well. So I go back to the mistakes I'm making. Oh, okay, T8. Oh, yeah, I'm making a few mistakes. Okay, I need to work on that. So I sit down and I practice. I exaggerate. So these are things that make your practice more active. Don't just read quietly and listen and, okay, I'm good. No, talk about what you read. even if it's to yourself, you know, talk about what you listened, take notes, share your opinion, critical thinking. Okay, what do I feel about this article? Oh, I like it. Not good enough for an intermediate level. What do I actually feel about this? You know, has it influenced me in any way? Do I disagree? Do I agree? Why? These are the questions you have to constantly answer if you're studying in order to improve your language skills in general.
Yeah, no, well said. And yeah, there you go, Musab. Now you have different ways that you can physically do it. And if you really don't have any time, well, even if it's minimal, even if it's like when you wake up in the morning, first thing, last thing before you go to bed, just to have a conversation with yourself out loud. When you're in the shower, just expressing your thoughts out loud. That's something that I did. And I think it worked. I think those small things really do add up over time. And it'll make you more natural when you need to express your thoughts in any communication situation here. And it's the 40-minute mark. So I'm going to share the link in the chat now. And you guys will be able to call in and ask questions if you have any. And if not, we'll simply just keep going. So I'm going to post in the chat right now. So I just posted the link. I'm not sure if it's a hyperlink or not, but you can just copy and paste this. And then you can basically call in via video and we will answer your questions. Okay. Now, I saw an interesting comment here. I'm just scrolling. Sorry, I can't get to all of you. There's a lot on Facebook here, but there's a good point Arafat brought up here. Speaking partner is very important for a person who wants to improve their English. The main point is that, however, we don't have access to that. We do impossible work in English if we have that. So basically, you're saying you need a speaking partner, but it's difficult to access that. There are a lot of free apps, actually, where you can access a lot of native English speakers or language exchange apps. I know HelloTalk is a good free one, where there's just an abundance of native English speakers who you could do the language exchange with, essentially. Other than that, I know it is difficult for you guys who don't live in English-speaking regions or don't have access to a lot of native English speakers, but Priscilla, typically how do you advise those students if they live in a country where it's just harder to access English speakers?
Here in Brazil, I know for a fact that if you don't use these apps, it'll be hard for you to find someone. But one thing that I always like to emphasize that it's my responsibility to make it work, even though I don't have the best options available. And one thing that I like to point out is that having someone to talk to, but having no direction, no method, may not be as efficient as people think. Because sometimes we think, oh, if I just have someone to talk to me, my problems are solved. Not necessarily. If you don't know how to organize a conversation, how to instigate the person to keep talking, how to make them, you know, engage in the conversation. And I'm not saying that's an art, you know, but it's not as easy as people think. And what I see in a lot of these apps is that people start and then they don't know how to keep going. And the conversations are a little, you know, empty because they don't have the direction or the guidance to make it appropriate for an English learner. And the thing is, as I said before, you need to work on your critical thinking. So let's say I'm reading about, participating in a lecture about artificial intelligence and the effects of artificial intelligence in business. So this is something that is not as simple anymore. So can I talk about that? Oh, Priscilla, this is difficult for me. So I'm going to prepare. And I can do that by myself. I will read about something connected to artificial intelligence. I will listen to people, experts, talking about it. I will take notes. I will study the vocabulary. And that's all you. And then I will practice my English speaking by myself, talking about that subject, creating questions, asking and answering questions. And that is something very productive you can do so that by the time you have someone to talk to you, because I think that at some point you want to have or you will try to find someone. I don't know what your goal is. Maybe at work, maybe you're going to travel. Eventually you want that. That's your ultimate goal, having someone to talk to you. Well, prepare yourself now. Now, the thing about having someone, I didn't have anybody. It took me a long time to have somebody. Now, was it nice when I did? Yes, it was really nice. But if you don't have someone right now, don't wait. Don't wait for the perfect scenario. Otherwise, you're just going to be disappointed that it's not happening the way you want. And it is difficult. Okay, I get it. Yeah, it's hard, but it's not impossible. And it can be done. I have watched so many people improve. And eventually, when they had to travel or do something, they were able to communicate because of the right preparation, the right method they were following.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And even with that being said, Priscilla, you could, if you're really organized and you have a really good game plan, you can still make a lot of progress having those conversations by yourself.
Yes, thank you. You know,
still, even with all that being said, you can still make a ton of progress. I made a ton of progress with that. Yes. When I started learning a new language, the people did not have the patience to speak with me because my level was not high enough to speak with them. And to get to that level in the first place, I really did have to practice a lot on my own. And I did use a French tutor at the time too, which helped as well, just to check up once in a while, grade your speaking, see where the little mistakes are, give you good filler words. It's good to check up with a tutor in a language once in a while, if you're going to take that route specifically. But yeah, if you're organized, if you have a plan, you can make a ton of progress.
But I think that's the challenge, having the plan, having the organization. Yeah. And this is where we come in handy, because we're professionals, you know, we study this, we work with people that need to have that access, you know, that organized plan. So I think that use YouTube in your favor. I don't know how many videos you have, but I imagine you have quite a few. And we are constantly posting lessons to help you better organize yourself. Pay attention to them, which I imagine you do, but your next step is, well, implement them. And stay consistent, because you're not going to see major changes in after a week. It's it's only in the long term that you monitor changes and improvement.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it looks like we have a caller here. So I'm going to let you in here, caller. It's my first time doing this, so bear with me. If you can unmute yourself, then you can ask a question.
Hi, Avery.
Hey, how you doing?
You probably know, well, you don't know me yet. I've sent you messages on Instagram.
Okay, I see. And what's your name?
I'm Jesus.
Jesus. Okay, Jesus. Yeah. Shout out to you. Do you have a question for Priscilla or myself?
Not really. I was just very surprised that you were doing this way today. So
yeah,
is this the first time you're trying to have like an audience join you on stage?
It's exactly. I'm trying it out. Yeah. So I posted the link here for any of you guys too, if you have any questions. And then, it's just to be more interactive. It's nice to see you guys face to face, as opposed to seeing all these random images as your profile images.
So. Well, I'm a teacher myself. And so I reached out to you some months ago, because I remember that you floated around this idea of starting some kind of a teaching platform, and I'm still interested, you know?
Yeah,
so
I remember you. Yes, exactly. Yeah, we're going to be launching a tutoring platform soon. It'll connect English tutors with English students. We have a pre-application form. It's like a Google form. So if you click on the link in any of our descriptions, you'll find it. And then, I'll definitely keep you posted.
Please do so. I'll take you up on that. You know,
And you speak good English. Yeah, you have really good English too. So, thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Indeed.
And we'll be in touch.
Yeah, I don't really have any questions. I'll just leave the two of you to finish this up.
Okay. Cool.
All right. See you later.
Take care.
Bye. Bye. All right. Shout out to Jesus. Okay. Yeah. If any of you guys have any questions, if you want to call in, the link's there in the chat. Otherwise, we'll just continue with the questions that you guys asked by text. Okay. Let's see. Musab. Okay, we got to that one. Abhichan, time, techniques, and strategies, routine, commitment. Yes, that is what you need. Juju, how can I know my pronunciation is correct? Typically, I would advise using the shadowing method if you're going to try to learn how to speak on your own. What would you say, Priscilla? How could someone know that their pronunciation is correct?
I like using shadowing. I think it's really, really efficient. There is one website. I mean, artificial intelligence is never perfect. They're getting really better. Okay, much, much better. But I like using, can I send you a message here? I think so, yeah. I like using dictation.io
right.
speech. Mm-hmm. And you can share it with people.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can share, but
yeah, I'll put it on the screen here.
And it is pretty good. You need a mic, okay? You need a mic, and you need to speak in the mic. You speak well so that the machine can hear, and they typically type what you said. It is really interesting. Let's say you're struggling with a few words in English, and you're practicing your pronunciation, and you can then go on this website and record yourself, and the AI will transcribe what you said. So it is not perfect, as I said, but it's something that I like doing. And I use it, okay? So let's say I'm working on pronunciation of, what's it called? You're a teacher. You know it better than me. How do you call those words? Minimal pairs. You know, words that are, they have same pronunciation, but they are different spellings.
Oh, so, like homonyms, homophones.
Yes, homophones. Yes, right, homophones, okay, yeah. Not minimal pairs. I think I confused it. Oh, terrible teacher I am. Oh, my goodness.
No. Just disclaimer, I'm not an English teacher, but...
you're not an English teacher. Well, but you're a teacher of some kind, sure. Right?
Informal, digital, social
yes,
media teacher.
Yes, we're always trying to help. Yes. I forgot it again. What do you say? It's
the homophones, yeah.
Homophones. Yes. Homophones. Yeah. And... when I'm practicing that, or when I'm practicing pronunciation, minimal pairs, I was studying minimal pairs. I don't know why I said that. But when I'm studying words and I'm working on my pronunciation, I like to use this website. I hit record and then I start reading a few phrases. I'm not really randomly speaking, oh, hey, guys, what's up? No, I'm really working on pronunciation. So I pick some words and I start speaking them, not too quickly, but not too slowly either. Okay, minimal pair. No, I'm not doing that either. But I speak at a normal speed, and then I see what they catch. In most cases, it gets correctly. Sometimes it gets the word wrong, and then I practice again. You know, I check. Sometimes, as I said before, when I'm a little sleep deprived or too busy, and I feel like my productivity in English is declining a little, and I feel like there are some words that I'm stuttering, you know, I'm not speaking so well, I will go back to this website. I will record myself speaking those words after practicing. First, I practice using the words, practicing my speaking, checking pronunciation, and then I will try recording myself and see how it goes. I think this is good, but not to analyze your grammar, not to analyze your ability to connect sounds, you know, stressing sounds, but to work very specifically on the words you find difficult, or if you're making mistakes, you know, while using a certain word. I think this can be very beneficial. But at the end of the day, I always go back to the shadowing. I think shadowing is one of the most beneficial ways to work on your pronunciation in general.
Yeah, it's definitely a proven method.
Yes.
That's worked for a lot of people, for sure. And then Fawad, what is your advice to those people who are not in English language countries, how to strengthen their skills of English? We just went over that, Fawad. So you might have been late to the stream, but you can always play it back and it will be recorded. So you can always check our answer to that question. Wari, I'm here. Hi, from south of France. Okay, wow. Shout out to south of France. Okay, and I saw something here. Miriam says, songs help me a lot in learning English. Yeah, songs can definitely help. Kind of depends what songs, I would say. Yeah. Some can actually make your English a lot worse. Yep, exactly. It can make your English a lot worse. But some can help you understand slang and idioms. So, Miriam, that's one thing too. And Juju says, should I learn by heart idioms and slang? Idioms and slang, how would you advise people? I have my answer, Priscilla, but how do you advise people to tackle idioms and slang?
In moderation. It all boils down to what are you going to do with it? You know, I mean, of course you want to use something different, but if you're focusing too hard on that, you're wasting time. First and foremost, you watch those movies. We go to the movies. You watch those movies. Those, yo, brother, what's up? You know, are you going to talk like that? Who talks like that?
Well, I disagree, though. I disagree because my thing is, so let me think. Okay, so my thing is geographically, if someone wants to move to the United States of America or if they want to move to London, England or something like that, I would say it's beneficial to understand the expressions and slang terms used there just for the purpose of understanding it. Even if you choose not to use it. Yeah.
Yes, I was going to say that. Okay. Right, yeah. I agree. That I agree 100%. But it also depends on the kind of slang because the person here wants to know by heart. And I think you're going to have a broken heart, but you're not going to memorize those phrasal verbs and idioms by heart, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be very difficult because I'm not, when I think about vocabulary, I think about following a smooth process of memorization. And when you put too much pressure into memorizing something, it usually backfires. So as he said, the culture impacts, and it's important to have a comprehensive an understanding of the local mannerisms, the culture, the slang. But depending on what you study, you need to see the relevance. What is the relevance of learning this idiom? How important is it for me to study this slang? Do I want to talk like that? Or is just my curiosity? Do I want to have a little fun with it? So where I use English? Well, I use English at work. Do I need to use these idioms? Do I need to use this slang? Is slang going to change my life? So that. Now, to understand, I agree, and I would add that. Okay, but where am I going? You know, and when I lived in Boston, beautiful place, there was one neighborhood I never went to. I only went once. And I felt like they were speaking a different English. Now, because of that experience, did I bother learning their English? No, because, you know, I didn't find it as pretty. I didn't find it as nice. But it just got my attention that, hey, maybe I would need to ask them to explain a few things, which I didn't, by the way, because it was a very different neighborhood. I didn't want to go there. I went there by accident. I was walking around and people were looking at me and I was like, oh man, I'm in the wrong place.
Are you lost? I can read between the lines there. Yeah. Okay. You know, I got what you're saying.
Okay. You know, to answer the question, I think it's wonderful to have fun and see the beauty of learning English and saying how many cool idioms and expressions they have, but you will have to filter how essential they are to your life in terms of communication. Now, to understand, as Avery has said, I think it's pretty neat to know some local expressions, but don't put so much pressure into learning them. I think there are more important things for you to do.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just passing by, if you're not going to permanently live somewhere like London, England or New York City or Boston, you don't really need to speak that way to integrate and build strong relationships with people. You don't need it. It's not necessary. However, you'll be able to not be lost in conversations, though, if you just at least understand what it means, of course. So we can at least both agree on that. But even myself as a native English speaker, I don't even understand half of the expressions with British slang, the way that British people speak from London, England. Like I can barely even understand them. Like it's so foreign to me. It's all their slang is extremely foreign to me. But yeah. Arafat, could we connecting you right now? Yeah, you could call in if you'd like. The link is down there in the chat, but we might have time for one question, but we're going to be wrapping up pretty soon. Okay. Nanaku, hello. Hello. Shout out to you. Juju, hold your horse. I rest my case. Piece of cake as examples. For those, I think it really, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but it comes down to your exposure to that. Especially okay. if you want to understand it and improve your passive vocabulary, it's going to be the repetitions you get of hearing it and all of the different references you can make in your head of the context in which it was used. So that's what I would say, I guess. But like you said, Priscilla, to memorize idioms and phrasal verbs, I'm not sure what the process would be if you don't have English immersion. But I think if you do have English immersion, I think you can encounter it enough times passively to the point where you just begin to get it. But yeah. So I'd say. Then Ben, I used to have an English girlfriend and she asked me if we could use less cast words, like curse words. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I didn't get
cast
that
words.
Cast
curse words. Is that what you meant? Valeria, okay, shout out to the people on Twitch and Ben. Sitting across the table from a North England guy, I didn't understand a word he was saying. Neither did any other native English speaker around that table. Yeah, Northern England people, yeah, like
it's,
no one.
It's hard.
That's really tough, yeah. I don't blame you. We're gonna wrap it up here. So Priscilla, where can people find you on social media if they want to find you?
Well, nice. You can find me on YouTube. I'm very active there. I post videos every week. I'm also somewhat active on Instagram, you know, Teacher Pricks. That's basically my name. Whatever you type this, you'll find me, you know, I'll be there. So I do like, my favorite social media is YouTube. I feel like on YouTube, I really get to put my ideas across. You know, I feel like sometimes people complain, oh, the video is too long. And I like to say that my videos are as long as they need to be. And I am excited to make videos there. Not that on Instagram I'm not, I am, but it's just a different platform, a little bit more casual. But if you want to get more content, you know, more explanations and ideas and strategies, I feel like YouTube is a wonderful place for you to get started with. And yeah, Instagram, I'm there. If you prefer Instagram for any reason, you know, I'm there as well.
Okay, cool. And are there any projects you have coming up? You mentioned earlier you have an academy. Like, what's up
with
that?
Yes. This is my online program where I guide my students on their journey to fluency by using my methodology, the way I like to study, my strategies, and I organize everything they need to do inside the academy. I open registration a few times a year. Right now it's not open, but there is an upcoming workshop, Fluent in 6, where I talk to students how they can go from stuck to speaking in 6 months. I share strategies, I share explanations of what is happening in your mind, what you need to take into consideration if you want to, you know, improve your English and feel more confident. That is going to be happening soon. I will share the link here. One second, because let me get the link for you guys.
Sure, no problem. And while she's getting the link for us, it's just ARC English on all platforms, ARC English, super easy to find. We're about everywhere, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X as they call it now, Threads, YouTube, we're all over the place. So for us, it's super easy.
So if people, let's see, okay. That's a link for to participate in the event. If you're interested, this would be a link to join. It'll start in 2 weeks. But next week, yes, next Monday, I'll be starting a series of live lessons on my channel, talking about this, preparing for this workshop that will be really fun to participate in.
Okay, I'm just going to share it with the group because you sent it to me privately. Okay, guys, so I just posted the link in the chat. Here it is. And you can reference this. This will be recorded too, so you can always go back and see the link. I'll put it in the descriptions and everything. And then, for Yeah, for us, it's ARC English and all platforms. We're working on a platform soon for you guys to offer group lessons and private lessons. We're going to have a little roster of tutors. And I know a lot of you guys have been requesting that. So we are going to have that ready for you pretty soon. We just need to line up which tutors we want to work with, of course, and then also target your what you guys specifically need to improve for your English. Because I know a lot of you guys, you need to prepare for tests such as the IELTS, the TOEFL, the TESOL, and all these popular exams. So we're going to make sure to have some tutors on our roster who can particularly help you guys for those purposes. Okay. And that is all for today. Thank you so much, Priscilla, for coming out.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
I think the audience loved you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes. And until next time, everybody, goodbye.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.